As a business owner, it's important to keep your business connected. Spectrum Business is committed to keeping your business online whenever and wherever you need us, all backed by the Spectrum Commitment. Get fast, reliable internet starting at $40 per month when bundled, or level up your internet speed and get a 3-year price guarantee. Learn how Spectrum Business can help your business stay connected at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sarah. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Vinny and Haney on Sports Radio, 105.7 The Fan.
Woman Crush Wednesday, Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Tina Turner coming at you. Orioles, one hit yesterday. Last night, I guess. Down in D.C. Luckily, the game only lasted like two hours, 20 minutes. So that was good. Then you watch a little NBA, a little NHL, whatever else is going on in your sports world. Orioles been outscored 31-2 last two games. 39-5 in their last three losses. Dean Kramer, he gets roughed up. Where's the offense? That's my number one gripe with the team. Forget about what they did or didn't do. As we watch it in real time. I mean, you can't forget about it because you kind of hear because of things. But with the players they throw out, where's the offense? Where are the runs? Is it conceivable that Brandon Hyde gets whack-attacked before the season is over after leading them to the playoffs for the first time, or 2 years in a row for the first time in almost 30 years? And if they have a winning season this year, to be the first time in over 50 years, or get to the playoffs, rather, if they have a winning season, first time in 40 years, they've had four straight of those. A lot of things that could be accomplished, but we're already talking about windows being closed. Vinny's comparing Rutschman to Matt Wieters already, who played 15 years in Major League Baseball. Are we that level of discontent? And, of course, the draft's tomorrow. What do the Ravens do at 27 as they look to build upon a roster that on paper right now might be arguably the most talented in football? And it's you talk about the Orioles and the goals there. Ravens even more so.
Oh, no doubt.
Super Bowl or bust.
They're all in. They moved all their chips in. And I mean, you said it, Bob. I mean, they probably have the best roster. You know, I mean, and we did this months ago. We looked at like the blue play, like top end players. And you look at the division top end players, Ravens got a lot more than anybody else. So, yeah, right. And you got... You got the best quarterback in the league right now. Should be two-time MVP, or back-to-back MVP is what it should be.
No doubt.
And you got the number one offense in the league, and you got a defense by the end of the year. It's pretty damn good.
Yep, and they have options at 27 as well. Let's get back to the phones. Go to Jimmy in Essex. Jimmy, thanks for holding. What's happening?
No problem. What's going on, fellas?
A little of this, a little of that.
So... Long-time listener. I don't call much. I prefer to just listen like the previous caller said. You guys got some good callers. But, man, I watched Charlie Morton's first and second start, and he was struggling to get through the innings. And then when he finally got the out, he was just let down by his defense. And I've seen it time and time again. Our defense is incapable of getting that third out, and it extends the inning. Wears out the starting pitcher, and next thing you know, the Heidler hooks in, like you guys like to call it. That wouldn't have happened with players like Hardy, Jones, Wieters. We don't have an arm in center field. Sure, Cedric Mullins can track him down. And I love Cedric Mullins. And I have a point about that in just 1 second. You have a bunch of these younger guys that, one of them, second-generation baseball. If he fails at this sport, he'll still be a millionaire. We have guys down on the farm, like the Machine, hitting 311 with a 759 OPS, that's dying to get a place in this lineup and to spark this offense. You have Gunner leading the league in errors. Who can? You got to be strong up the middle in baseball. I know just enough to be dangerous, but I know that. And Adley can't throw out runners a second. Gunner can't pick the ball and make routine outs. And Cedric Mullins has a hard time controlling the run game after they tag up. And we just got to get some changes. I do know what the answers are. I think you give Connor Norby a chance at first base. I think you let Hunter Kerstedt play.
Kobe Mayo, you mean?
Kobe Mayo.
Yeah, Norby's the starting second baseman for the Marlins right now.
Yeah.
Had a hit and a run last night. Yeah, right? Stowers had, he's hitting 307 with a 900 OPS.
Stowers hitting 307.
Yeah, that's crazy. Yeah.
But you put the hot Latinos at third. You let the Machine play at second, and you let these guys play. If Gunner comes around, move him back down the lineup. DH him. He doesn't deserve to play every day, as far as I'm concerned. That's why Bobby Witt went before him.
All right. Well, thank you, Jimmy. My rebuttal to that would be Gunner said, Rutschman helped the Orioles win more games than any team in baseball, aside from the Dodgers, since the start of 2023. So they were having some level of success. So they were good at what they were doing to get the Orioles to where they've been, back-to-back playoffs. Now, they didn't win any games. That's another story altogether. They're all stinking at the same time. And that's football, for instance. A good quarterback can carry weaknesses, you know, but eventually turnovers, penalties, drop passes. It all catches you. Kickers who can't make kicks. Orioles right now have everyone missing kicks and committing penalties and dropping passes. So to me, the concern with the team that's on the field now, and a lot of these pitchers down on the – if we're at the point where we're waiting for Trevor Rogers, the result of his rehab start, this is a guy who was good his rookie year, was an all-star, what, finished second rookie year voting. Since then, he's not so much. If we're to that point, it's desperate. But the guys that are on the team, the lineup, where is it? They're no patience. They fall behind. It's 3-0, might feel like 13-0. Said it in the opening of the show. When a low hit the home run, what, second batter in the game? I'm like, oh, really? And then all of a sudden, it was just like one hit after that. One mini, teeny, tiny uprising. It's been brutal. And the sample size is much larger than just this year. But is there still hope? I don't know. Unless they start slow pitch softball and an offense, it's going to be a rough go here. Let's go to PT at Towson. PT, what's up?
Hey, guys. Let me rant a bit. I don't buy the locker room energy angle. You know what you're trying hard looks like is diving into first base or saddling up in the batter's box and telling yourself, there's no way the ball's getting by me. I'm not striking out. And that's Colton Cowser. He broke his finger swinging it in the playoffs, and he broke his thumb diving into first. So I don't think – it's not a lack of effort. You know, baseball's a different deal. You got to go into the batter's box calm, you know, with a good mindset. And it's just a lack of success. That's why we're not seeing any energy. And as far as Santander, he's a below average fielder and he can only play right field. So yeah, he's one of the, I think in the next 4 years, he's going to be, you know, one of the top 100 hitters in the game, but it makes sense that you move on from him. I don't think that you're missing McCann, who's in the minor leagues, by the way, and Santander, and that's what's breaking down the team. We don't have locker room leaders. I think things aren't clicking, and everybody, you're fired these hitting coaches, and now you've got to look at what's going on. So, Bob, my question to you.
Yes.
And actually, I heard a smart man say this just yesterday. Patience at the plate for this team is diminishing. Poor fielding. you know, I mean, Jackson Holliday does not keep his head down for ground balls. It's hard to see. And poor base running. So do you think it's possible that maybe they would be a better team without Hyde?
Thank you, PT. I don't mean to cut you off because we got the notes from the North. Better without Hyde? That's an unanswerable question. Yeah. I mean, this is a guy that was Sporting News two times in a row, Manager of the Year. And a lot of these guys that are on this year's team helped him get to that level. I mean, does Buck Britton take over and all of a sudden Jackson Holliday keeps his head up? His swing is not as long and as loopy as it's been. Heston Kerstadt becomes a Gold Glove level outfielder. I don't know. Sooner or later, the players have to become accountable for their poor performance. And you can't keep blaming the front office or the manager. I'm not saying they're not without blame. Of course, it's all mixed together. You think Brandon Hyde's, when he does his little signals to the third base coach, is telling Gunner to strike out with a guy on third and nobody out? No. The players have to start performing. Far cry from 4 years ago when they were the worst team in baseball. And then all of a sudden, World Series expectations are out the window and we're firing people. I don't run the team. If I did, be free beer night on Fridays at Oriole Park, Camden Yard. We'll come back, whip around, a lot going on in the world of sports. Bottom of the hour. Notes from the North. We're going to Pittsburgh with Brian Batko, Joe Dannemann, Fox 19 in Cincinnati, and Zach Jackson talks about the Browns. He's with The Athletic. Cleveland, second pick in the draft. Would they possibly look into trading that thing?
Vinny and Haney's Whip Around.
Every sport.
Every game.
Everything.
Brought to you by Box Hill Pizzeria and Crab Cakes. Best crab cakes in Harford County.
Time for the Whip Around. Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Craig Laughlin's going to be joining us at 1:30. Talk about the Caps who play tonight against the Montreal Canadiens. Caps up in that series 1-0 as Washington survives in overtime. Ovi, Alexander Ovechkin gets the game-winning goal. First time in the history of his story career, he scored an overtime game-winning goal. So cross that off the bucket list.
I mean, that's crazy. You know, I mean, he keeps breaking records.
Last night, however, on the ice in the Stanley Cup playoffs, the Maple Leafs taking on Ottawa, and he got a little free hockey, at least for as long as it lasted.
That's picked off by Benoit, and he'll start back. Drop Benoit into the zone, drops for Domi. He's through! Domi scores! Max Domi's the overtime hero in Game 2!
Sportsnet on the call, the Maple Leafs, the Leafs as they call them, beat Ottawa 3-2 in OT and take a commanding 2-0 lead in that series.
Yeah, now they go back to Ottawa. Ottawa played a lot better. I mean, they lost 6-2 in the first one. They were like, I think, shocked that they were in the playoffs, and the first time in the playoffs. So they played a really good game last night. I would think that they'll win at least one in Ottawa. Then Montreal goes home up 3-1. You know, so this series, I think the Maple Leafs are playing extremely well right now.
Carolina beat the Devils. The Devils, 3-1. They lead that best of seven series 2-0.
Yeah, I'll say this, Bob. Anderson, the goalie for Carolina, the Devils outplayed him. And the Devils should have won that game. And they had a bunch of injuries. You know, guys that weren't even dressing. But they played exceptionally well. And they couldn't score enough. That was the problem. I mean, Carolina, it was 2-1. Carolina got the empty netter.
Florida beat Tampa, game one of that series, 6-2. So the defending Stanley Cup champs get off to a fast start in that one.
Oh, it's nice to have Matthew Tkachuk back. Isn't it? I mean, he's been out since the Four Nations, and he come back, gets two goals and an assist. So, yeah, and that game was in Tampa also. So big win for Florida. And like, this is the first time Florida's had their whole team together since the Four Nations. So, They're gonna be a tough out. Let me just say that they're defending champs.
Minnesota beat the Golden Knights 5-2. That series tied at a game apiece.
Yeah, and Golden Knights, they gave the puck away all night last night, and Minnesota took advantage of it. Kaprizov played really well for Minnesota. He had two goals and assists. And Matthew Boldy for the Wild, he had two goals the night before in the loss, and then he scored again. So now they're going back to Minnesota. This is going to be a series. This one could go seven.
Also tonight on the ice outside of Washington, hosting Montreal, the Stars are at Colorado. That series tied at a game apiece.
Yeah, the Stars got the overtime goal, and you know now they're going back to Colorado. So, I mean, when you go on the road, just like baseball, Bob, you split, you feel like you won, yeah. You know? So Colorado's in good shape going home.
What do they say? You stole home ice advantage
yes.
by doing that. And then later tonight out in L.A., Oilers and Kings, L.A.'s up 1-0 there.
Yeah, and L.A. was up 4-0 in the first. Edmonton came back, you know, and then L.A. scored it at the end. L.A. is the best home record team in the NHL, and I think they'll be up 2-0 after tonight.
NBA playoffs last night. It was Indiana 123-115 over Milwaukee. Pascal Siakam had 24 points, 11 boards, 3 assists as the Pacers take a 2-0 lead in that series. Oklahoma City blew out Memphis 118-99. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander had 27 for the Thunder. Aaron Wiggins, University of Maryland, 8 points for Oklahoma City. Santi Aldama, Loyola Greyhound, had 10 for the Memphis Grizzlies. It was the Lakers getting back in their series against Minnesota, 94-85. Luka Doncic had 31 points, 12 boards, 9 assists. Alex Len, University of Maryland, DNP coach's decision. Orlando's at Boston tonight. Celtics up 1-0. Miami's at Cleveland, Cavs up 1, and then Golden State's at Houston as the Rockets, the higher seed, look to get back in that one against the veteran Warriors. It's the Whip Around video at 81057 The Fan. This day in Orioles history, 1983. It's April the 23rd in Anaheim. Dan Ford, Rich Dower both drove in runs. T-Bone Shelby had 4 hits. Scott McGregor, complete game 9 hitter. For his second win, Orioles 3-1 in that one, 2014. Speaking of those 14 Orioles, as a caller brought up earlier, in Toronto, Nelson Cruz, 2 homers, including a grand slam. He had 5 ribbies. Chris Davis and Matt Wieters also went deep. Chris Tillman got the win. Tommy Hunter the save. 10-8. Orioles get the win there. And then 2 years ago in 10 innings, Oriole Park, Camden Yards, the soon-to-be AL East champ. Orioles beat the Tigers as Adam Frazier scores on a wild pitch. Tony Taters had a ribby as the Orioles pick up the win. Keegan Aiken got the W in relief 2 years ago. 2-1. Orioles tonight taking on the Nats. We'll talk more about that with Jim Hunter in the 12 o'clock hour. But when we come back, notes from the North. We're going to go to Pittsburgh, Cincinnati, Cleveland, a day from the draft.
Bengals.
Chase to the end zone. That's a Bengal touchdown.
Browns. Steelers.
Pressure ball out. Picked up. Walk. Touchdown Steelers.
Ravens.
Lamar winding up. Going deep for Bateman. He's got it.
The toughest division in football. Notes from the North. Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan.
NFL draft tomorrow. First round. Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato. Notes from the North. We'll start in Pittsburgh with the Steelers. They get to the playoffs every year. Don't really last long. Trying to get beyond that first round slash wild card round. From the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, he's on the Window Nation guest hotline, is Brian Batko. And Brian, I know the draft is tomorrow. Steelers 21st pick in the first round. But when I say the name Aaron Rodgers, what's the first thing that pops in your head right now?
QB1. I still think he's going to be the guy. for better or worse, I feel like that's where it's trending for the Steelers. I don't think it has a big impact on their draft plan, but obviously it is holding up their offseason to an extent.
Brian, if Shedeur Sanders is there 21, even though they still may get Aaron Rodgers, do they take Shedeur Sanders there at 21 if he's there?
You know, my official prediction was that they go with the more sensible, conservative, less sexy option and take a defensive lineman. But after hearing Mike Tomlin yesterday rave about Shedeur in a lot of ways, it almost felt like he was kind of laying the groundwork for it, you know, leaving the breadcrumbs and doing the almost pre-hype train a little bit. So it wouldn't surprise me at this point, and I never thought I would have been saying that a month or two ago.
Now, what else do they need? Say Shedeur is 21, 2 through 7, what do they need?
Well, they don't have a 2 anymore because they dealt it for DK Metcalf, but I think that's a good move because yeah, you're not getting a wide receiver in the second or even the first round of this draft that is comparable to what DK can bring. So I commend Omar Khan for that deal. They need a defensive lineman, and so many Steelers fans are split on, you know, going to the quarterback well again. I think a lot of people are scarred from the Kenny Pickett experience in 2022. They need somebody to take the torch from Cam Hayward in these next two or three years up front. But they also need a big-time running back as well, with Najee Harris off to L.A. to join the Chargers. Those, to me, are the three biggest areas that they need to address at some point here this weekend.
If they address all three areas, where do you see their roster looking going into the season?
I don't know. I mean, I hesitate to predict anything other than the usual 9-8, 10-7, maybe 11-6 if things break right. I'm not going to project them to go under 500 until I see it, but I'm also not going to project them to go out there and finally win a playoff game in the rough and rugged AFC until I see it. So they've got a roster that's not any real glaring holes, but guys, like so many teams, it comes down to the kind of play that they get at the quarterback position.
Brian Bacco, Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Brian, appreciate the time. Enjoy the draft. And obviously, we'll be talking to you a lot as we get closer and closer to kickoff here 2025.
Yep, looking forward to it. Thanks guys.
Brian.
We'll see you.
Yep.
All right, Brian Bacco. Looks like Aaron Rodgers will be the guy in Pittsburgh when it's all said and done. We know who the guy is at quarterback in Cincinnati, but let's talk about their draft possibilities with pick number 17. Fox 19, Window Nation Guest Hotline brings us here, Joe Daneman. Joe, appreciate the time as always. And Cincinnati made that spirited run to almost get into the postseason, fell short 2 years in a row as we get closer to tomorrow, as a matter of fact, draft weekend. Where are we looking needs-wise?
Okay, well, you're looking at a team that's staring down one of the biggest drafts they've had in a long time, considering how urgent it is for them to rebuild their defense. You mentioned the Bengals made a run at the playoffs at the end of the season. That's because they have one of the best offenses in the NFL. But the reason they did not make the playoffs last year is because their defense simply was not good enough. The Bengals have 6 picks this year. They need to use the majority of those picks on rebuilding a defense. They started that in the offseason by switching out Lou Anarumo for Al Golden as the new defensive coordinator. With a pick at number 17 overall, the feeling is the Bengals need to address their defense either up front or at safety and start to rebuild this defense and give Joe Burrow a chance to get back to the playoffs and potentially win games in the playoffs.
Hey, Joe, what is going to be the difference? What are we going to see differently with Al Golden than we saw with the previous coordinator?
Yeah, that's still to be determined as the Bengals start their offseason work this week and then getting into mini camps and ultimately training camp. What we've heard this week is an emphasis on ball disruption and communication were the two phrases I heard over and over inside the Bengals locker room this week. Now, ball disruption, there isn't a lot of that right now on their defense. That's why they have to find playmakers on defense, guys who get to the quarterback or guys who can get to the football. They didn't turn the ball over enough last year. They really only have one pass rusher on the roster that they can count on in Trey Hendrickson. So, again, that's what they're looking for in the draft is not just guys who can play defense, but guys who can step in right away and be difference makers and game changers and ball disruptors. That's what they're looking for this draft, and I think it starts tomorrow night in round one.
So in round one, do you see safety, corner, or pass rusher? I'm guessing those three positions are probably their first three picks?
I think they're okay at corner. I think they might draft some depth at corner later in the draft. But a pass rusher and a safety seem to be the two big ones for this team. Look, they need a linebacker as well. They haven't drafted a linebacker in 5 years. Jermaine Pratt requested a trade in the offseason. That has been put on the back burner as they dealt with Ja'Marr Chase, T. Higgins, and now still dealing with Trey Hendrickson. So that's another position. The wild card for this team will be tomorrow night if they value guard enough to use that in the first round. We all know that's not a premium position, and picking 17th overall is a premium spot. So the question is, the one hole they have on offense, will they value that more as a first-round draft pick over what they have to fix on defense. It's why it makes for a fascinating first round and, quite honestly, a fascinating first 2 days for the Bengals.
Hey, Joe, if they take Booker, Tyler Booker or something for their guard, you know, Al Golden may walk out of the draft.
You're not wrong, but I'll say this. I think Bengals fans might turn the TV off and be upset that they haven't addressed the defense in the first round. But if you have one job as a front office, right, that when you draft a guy like Joe Burrow, and Joe Burrow is playing at the height of his powers right now, which is at a potential MVP level, I think you sleep well at night knowing you're doing everything you can to protect him, to keep him upright and keep him healthy for the rest of the season. But it's not a premium position. And when there are so many other needs this team has, I can understand why Al Golden and Bengals fans would be upset if they were to go guard with a top 20 pick.
Joe Dannemann, Fox 19, Cincinnati. Joe, appreciate the time as always. Enjoy the draft. We'll talk to you as we get closer to the season.
Thanks, Joe.
Looking forward to it, guys. Thanks.
There's Joe Dannemann. Now we go to Cleveland. Browns have the second overall pick in the 2025 NFL Draft. Joining us now on the Window Nation guest hotline from The Athletic is Zach Jackson. Number two, Zach, overall in this year's selection. Fun overtures for that pick, I guess, are there. Would the Browns entertain a possible move down, given the right deal here?
Yeah, they would, certainly. I don't know that a realistic one, you know, comes to fruition. So, you know, I think with a fair level of certainty, I think they're going to pick Travis Hunter. But there are, I think, a couple of other realistic scenarios.
Now, Zach, why Travis Hunter over Abdul Carter? Because if you have Abdul Carter and Myles Garrett on both sides, I mean, that would be very fun.
That's the way I would go, and that would fit some previous decisions they've made about matching up with Lamar Jackson, right? Mm-hmm. You know, why Travis Hunter? They, if he really comes to be the pick, they believe that he just has rare ball skills and phenomenal ability, and that if they can, you know, they're assuming they can stabilize things here. They think eventually he will settle into a role, whether he, you know, maybe becomes a Champ Bailey. I mean, these are all incredibly lofty comparisons, but they don't run from him. Nobody runs from him with Travis Hunter, right? But I think initially he would be a guy they put the ball in his hands and let him create because, you know, they have some guys on both sides, but they really need more offensive playmakers.
How do they find a quarterback?
You know, that's a heck of a question. This is a bad situation. You know, I don't think Ozzie and DaCosta could recover from the Watson thing as good as those guys are. Like, this thing is a disaster. So how do they find one? They probably draft one in the second round 2 nights from now. I think they keep taking stabs at guys that become available, but they mostly look to the future. So, you know, my gut says with kind of the blank slate they have, short-term solutions, I think they take a shot on Jalen Milroe if he's the guy at 33. But we'll see. Certainly not appealing options, and probably don't want to get in a situation where you give up next year's first-round pick because that seems like it's going to be a valuable one.
Zach, is Stefanski on the hot seat heading into this season?
You know, I think to an extent you have to be, right? I mean, they won 11 games 2 years ago, and then they crash-landed. This is an older roster. It doesn't have a lot of young, promising players because they gave away draft picks. They spent, you know, last year recommitting to an awful experiment that they had to. So, you know, I don't think anybody wants to pull the plug on the coach or the GM. I think if you take a big step back, longer answer, I think the coach has more chance of the GM, but I don't think anyone is comfortable or should be comfortable here given the situation. It's year six for these guys, and they just thud 3-14.
Zach Jackson, The Athletic, talking Cleveland. Zach, appreciate the time. Enjoy the draft. We'll talk to you later in the year.
Thanks, Zach.
Thanks, guys.
Yep. Zach Jackson, everybody. So Stefanski, possibly. Barry, maybe. Sounds like what's going on at the warehouse with the Orioles after back-to-back playoff appearances. We'll come back. Funhouse, Nolan McGraw, news from the Nest. Top of the hour, we're going to hear from Roquan, Kyle Hamilton, Scott Elliott, strength coach for the Ravens. Hey, Nate Wiggins, he needs to gain some strength. What's he doing to get that? News from the Nest coming up top of the hour, and then let's count, hopefully, some midweek money. Maybe these tariffs. Yes. Oh, we got a thumbs up.
Yes.
A little tease. Maybe we got some green to get into. Stick around for that one. And then our draft profile number two, staying defense, need position for the Ravens coming up at 12:45. But let's bring old Quick Draw McGraw in here. Nolan, How are you feeling on this Woman Crush Wednesday?
Feeling all right. I'm going to go out on a limb here and say that the Orioles score a run tonight, at least one. Beyond that, I have no confidence whatsoever, but I can, I'll give you one run tonight, and that's about it.
Well, Trevor Williams' earned run average is almost six. Let's go two. Let's get zany. I get up.
Over 10 hits.
Over under 10 hits. I'm saying, I was going five. Over under hits. Fiver.
You know, what's incredible last night, the switch from the offense to pitching with Dean Kramer. He gave up the 8 extra base hits. There's 11 hits on the night. 8 were extra base hits.
A lot of loud noises.
And apparently that's the most by an Orioles starter ever, or at least in the last 50, 60, 70 years, which was stunning to me because, I mean, think about all the bad baseball and bad pitching we watched during the dark years, or just isolated to simply 2019, 2021. I mean, they had nobody competent in those years. So the fact that that last night, and he was still able to go into the sixth despite that, that's just one of those weird stats.
And kept him kind of sort of in the game.
Until the fifth, yeah.
But he gave up 11 hits, 8 were of the help your slugging percentage variety. And the Nats were only 3-for-16 with runners in scoring position. That could have been another 24-run debacle, but Parker was on point. The Orioles were not. And, you know, it's a dilemma. It's a beleaguered team that's I asked the question last week, what's the strength of the Orioles right now? I don't think they have one. And you can't even say the bullpen because now you're just, you know, you're patronizing the audience. Well, their bullpen's not as almost cussed again as crappy as the rest of the team. No, I mean they're okay, but not all that great.
Mm.
Anywho, what else is going on over there?
Well, before we get to the fun house, I do want to remind the audience that if you're not listening live, you can always go back and listen to anything you missed on the Odyssey app.
Hour and a half would have been well worth your time.
Right. Well, there's stuff being posted throughout the day.
You're the man,
show.
Nolan.
Oh, thank you. Somebody said it. I
got a ham gift certificate that expired from 3 years ago if you want it.
I'll take it. I'll make it work.
Yeah.
But there's plenty of ways to listen. Live on the radio, on the app. We chapter everything with the rewind up to 24 hours. Individual segments get posted and podcasted. It's not just the Odyssey app. You can listen on your traditional podcasting outlets. If you're on Spotify, we're on there. If you're on Apple Music or Apple Podcasts, we're on there as well.
You've already lost.
Yeah. All right. I'm lost too, Knox.
Let me cook. Let me cook.
Yeah. Hey. It's like you sound like you went to a meeting yesterday or something.
I am a company man. I'm a company man.
We got time for a fun house.
Let's do it.
Let's do it.
Quick Draws Fun House. Sponsored by the Smile Design Center. Changing the way you feel about dentistry one smile at a time. For information or to schedule an appointment for care, visit them today at smiledesigndoctor.com.
105.7 The Fan.
All right, let's start here with Russell and Frederick. Says, as an optimistic O's fan, there's not much orange Kool-Aid left in the cooler at this moment. This team looks lost, disinterested, starting pitching flat out sucks. Offense, same thing. Meanwhile, Elias and Hyde have done a lot of good up to this point, but maybe patience is running thin at this point. I still have some hope, but I'm running out of it. He says, side note, go Caps. At least we have that.
Well, a caller brought this up 2014 where they let Miller go, and I think he was kind of priced himself out of Baltimore, but not keeping Cruz. I said it as it happened. That was a bad move. Then you let Markakis go to Atlanta where he became an all-star, won a gold glove. Remember Travis Snyder was the Duquette Band-Aid for that one. So they kind of, they were 515, made the playoffs again at 16. Maybe this is the 2015 version of this Orioles squad, but it's not what you expected. If anything, going back to the second half of 23 was great. Last year was great for 2.5-3 months.
More calls for Brandon Hyde to be fired. This one says, get Hyde out of here. Have Buck Britton take over. These young guys know him best. They'll play hard for him. Hyde has lost the juice. He lost the juice in the second half of last season.
Well, I'm going to harken back to the dark days of 1988. Orioles started 0-6. You know what they did? They fired Cal Ripken Sr. and hired Frank Robinson, of all people, the legendary Frank Robinson. You know what they did when they hired Frank? They lost 15 straight games. They finished 0-21. They started 0-21. Sometimes, and I'm not saying this is the team, but sometimes, Vinny, Nolan, listeners, the harsh reality is you just kind of suck. And you could bring Earl Weaver back from the grave.
More than likely, you get a little bump for a little bit, and then you are what you are.
Back to reality.
Yes.
And one last text for now. This one says, it seems to me that the Orioles have gone downhill since they traded Austin Hayes last year. Speaking of the clubhouse factor.
Hazy.
Says that move seemed to disrupt everything, all the chemistry for the team.
But I hear you on that one, and I was a big Austin Hayes fan, but he's always hurt.
Yeah.
And he wasn't having a great year when they flipped him. And they got, what, Dominguez in that trade, who's actually been a reliable performer for them this season. And they had a glut of outfielders, didn't have a lot of right-handed hitting outfielders, which is a dilemma as we see right now. But that's a factor because he was one of those. He was an all-star. Less than 2 years ago, Austin Hayes was one of the many Oriole all-stars and then was unceremoniously sent to Philly and then got hurt and started the year hurt for Cincinnati. So what's he sitting there on his cane telling you, hey, you're doing a hell of a job in there. Got to help on the field sooner or later. Again, maybe they're just bad. Bad. Comeback news from the nest. Not bad. Ravens not winning the Super Bowl. That'll be bad. But wait, we're way ahead of ourselves on that one. Drafts tomorrow. Stick around.